wrong side to the slum. It was a dream, but now alhamdulillah, it's a reality.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Mahad Mustaqim. My parents from Somalia. And I was born Muslim, but I've been practicing Islam since 1 year. I was born in Somalia, and when I was 10 months, I came to Canada. And since then, I was living in Canada. So basically, I didn't know nothing about Islam. I was praying till I was 8 years old till 10. But you know, we were praying because you know. That's what my mom showed me, you know, teach me, you know. But I didn't know what's the meaning of Islam. So basically, most of my time I spent in the streets, you know. So that's the things that I knew, you know. So basically, I went to school, but I dropped from high school, you know. So I went to youth center for small cases, you know. And after I start getting a name on the street, so and after what happened is that. I took the street serious, you know. So, for me, the street was a way to get money. It was a family thing, you know. Because in my house we were like 10 kids, you know, 10 brothers and sisters from the same mom, same dad. But my dad left the house, so I was the oldest. I was the oldest from the family, so I had to take care of my family, you know. So I was young at this age. I couldn't work, you know, because it was not easy, you know. So what happened, I started doing things to get money to help my mom, but in my head I was helping my mom, but at the same time I was bringing stress to my mom. So I took the streets as a house, and the gangsters in the street, I took them as a family. So, because in the house I was stressed, so when I was outside, I would take my stress out with them, you know, with the things we were doing. So I grew up in a hood named MRB in Montreal. It's known for violence, and it's a Crip neighborhood. So basically I went with the Crips guys, and after I did some few things with the oldest guys, they started looking at me, and they recruited me, you know. And I did things, and what happened basically is that you know, when you're in the street, you never know, you do things, but you think that you're a bad boy, but you never know, you know, a bad boy can come get you, you know. In the street, I was not happy, you know. I was not happy, you know. I was trying to find myself, you know. So through the image of the eyes of my friends, you know. So, but I didn't feel good. But the image I had in front of the people, for the people, I was like a leader, you know. So from 18 to 21, I was in jail for a big case. So they gave me I got 4 years, but I did 3 years on that. I was 18, I came out at 21. So my name got bigger, because you know, you're in the street, you don't speak to no, you don't speak about, you don't snitch. So people look at you like, you know, you got more credit on your shoulder. So what happened, I had a position, because the guy, the OG from the hood, he went to jail. So me, I had a different mentality when I came out. So basically, they give me a bigger position, you know. So what happened, you know, I did things in the street, you know. Everything, what goes around comes around, you know. And one of my friend, you know, one of a boy I know, you know, I got shot, you know. He shot me, and I was a victim, you know. And just, I'm telling that because the game is dirty, you know. So every time, people think it's the enemies who are going to come at you. Sometimes it's your own friend who's going to come at you, you know. Jealousy, you know, for money, for girls, you know. So what happened, I got shot, you know. So I got shot, I got shot three times, one in the leg, my right leg, one in my belly. It hit my intestine, and it went to my spine. So the one from the spine, it was the most critical one. Yeah, what happened is that I stayed in the hospital for 2 months. So what happened is the street, the people from the street thought I'd die, you know. They thought I'd be finished with this, you know, because they heard it was a 45 caliber who shot, you know, it's a big toy. So everybody thought I'd be, how do you say that, like I was dying, you know. So what happened while I was in a coma, because I stayed in coma for like 1 week, and when I wake up from the coma, and people, the friends that I thought that I had in the street, they never came to see me in the hospital, you know. It's a few brothers that were in slum that came to see me in the hospital trying to do me that way, but I didn't want to understand. In my mind, it was revenge, you know. So I had to, for 5 months, I had to keep something for my back, to hold my back, because if I didn't have that, my back will lean, you know. So they said I have to stay with the support for my back for like 5 months, and I did physio till today. Till today, I have to do physio. It's been 3 years, 2009, July, I've been shot. And alhamdulillah, it's been 3 years now. I still cannot feel my leg, but at least I can walk.
Okay, now, you see, after the shooting, how did you feel when you came out and when you wasn't paralyzed anymore? What was going through your mind?
I did physiotherapy, so after 2 months, they let me go home. I went home, and some people thought that after this situation, I'd be like more calm, you know? But in my mind, I had revenge, you know? Cause I knew who's the cats, who's the people who did that to me, you know? But the thing is that, you know, the game's dirty, you know? So the guy went to jail cause his own friend snitched on him, you know? So in my mind, I said, if I don't catch him, at least I'm gonna catch everybody, you know? So at the certain time, I was taking the street seriously, but I never thought I'd be a victim one day, you know? I thought it was only in the movies, you know? You know, when it happened to you, you like, you open your eye, like, you know? I almost died, but for some people, it would change your life, but me, it become worse, you know? So I came on the street, so people, me, I was a victim, you know? In my mind, I was a victim, so I had to get my revenge back. But for some people, it's a credit. You get your credibility more, you know, so they look at me different, you know, so I took advantage of that. What I mean advantage is not like I was feeling more gangster, you know, but in my mind is I almost died. After that situation, I start cut off people around my circle, you know, because they didn't came to see me in the hospital. And so for some people, you see when it's action, when there's real action, you see the real faces of people, you know. So I start pushing people back, you know, like moving people around me, you know, people around me. Because what happened is that people say, you think people are real, you know, you do things to show people that you're real. But when real action come, you realize that they're not what you think they are, you know. So I start hanging with few people, my circle start to get smaller. And what happened is that I let my doors open for because I have brothers that is in Islam, they practice Islam. They was trying to bring me back to Islam, but I didn't want to understand nothing, you know. So they, every time they come talk to me, and they were the only brothers who came to see me in the hospital. I said for my brother named Ishaq Mustakimi, he came to support me. And what happened is that they always talking about Islam, you know. So I always find peace in them, you know, peace in them. They were not getting the same amount of money that we were getting, you know, but they was always happy, you know. So me, I'm curious by nature, you know. I always like to research for, like, if I see something on someone, I like to get my search on, my information to. So I start to get my information. So they talk about Islam, so I was not ready for that time, you know. And my mind, my body, my heart wanted, but my mind was not ready for that. So I've been in since 15 years old. I've been in jail, youth center, like for back to back for like 1 year and a half. And when I was in jail, 18 to 21, people, every time I was in a bad situation, Islam was coming to me, but I was not ready to catch Islam, you know. So I was always pushing back. So what happened after my 3 years? I did 6 months. I came back, and I went to police from Ottawa. They came to Montreal, they rushed my house, they came to get me, they had a warrant for me for something that happened in Ottawa 1 year after, 1 year ago. They came to get me for 14 warrants. They came to get me, and it was a big case. I was facing like easy like 6-7 years in prison. And alhamdulillah, six years. So, you know, so in Montreal, in prison in Montreal, there's not a lot of Muslim people, you know. So when I went to Ottawa, I started to see people, some Jamaican people, some white people, some Chinese people. They all practicing Islam. So I was like, because outside where I'm from, it's only the Arabs and the Somalians who's practicing Islam. So in my mind, it's like something is a culture, you know. But when I went to jail, I see some Jamaican with dreads, Chinese people, white people practicing Islam. I was like, yo, what is this, you know? What a white people, big man like that in jail praying, you know? I was like asking questions. So what happened, because I was in my cell with a guy, he talk about Islam. He talk about my life. He asked me questions about my life. Are you happy with this? Are you happy with this? You know, I was so mad at him. I was screaming. I was like, yo. But at the end, this guy was not scared. He was small like that, but he was not scared. He was asking me, I was getting mad. I said, well, why are you asking me this question? Like, why are you asking me? He said, I just want to take your madness out from you, you know? So after he got my madness out, after my madness came out, he said, brother, Islam will help you, you know? So what happened, I was ready to change, but I was not ready to get Islam. So what happened, I was in a range with Ottawa people, because me, I was doing things in Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal. So some people from Ottawa, they recognized me, so I had problem with them. So they put me in a hole for 1 week, and I was back trip, you know? It's sad that when you have problem, that is the time that you pray God, you know? Most people is like that. When you have problem, they pray God, they remember God. But when everything's good, they forget God. So what I was one of them, you know? Even though I was not practicing, I believe in God, but I was not practicing, you know? So I was praying God. I said, I want to change. So what happened, the guard saw me praying, like putting my hand like that. So he saw me and said, you're Muslim? I said, I'm Muslim. He didn't say nothing, he left. And the imam came to see me. He gave me the Quran, he just left. He said, when you finish, he called me. So I started reading. You had nothing, I had nothing, no book, no pen, nothing. So I started reading, I read the Quran in 5 days. A quick. So after the first page, I started realizing that my heart, peace, you know. So I read Quran, but I had a lot of questions. So when I came out from the hole, I went to see the imam. The imam talked about my life. So I started learning Islam. So I feel peace. So I said, after 24 years of my life, I'm finally happy. So I went to the range. Everybody thought I would come up with the same mentality, but my life changed, you know? So my life changed, you know?
Can you tell us how practicing Islam has changed your life?
Since I'm practicing Islam, a lot of things change with my family, because, you know, like I told you, like we 10 brothers and sisters, you know. It was always tension in the house. My dad left my the house. My mom was always, she was always stressing. I didn't have I was loving my mom, but I didn't show. I was not really loving my mom, like, you know. I was always outside stressing her. So since I didn't know my mom a lot, you know, but since I was practicing Islam, I started to talk to my mom. So the relationship changed between my mom and my family, and I was mad at my dad, you know. But with Islam, Islam in the Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says you have to be good with your parents. So since I embrace Islam, I practice in Islam, I forgive, because if you want people to forgive you, you have to forgive people, you know. So with the family now, alhamdulillah, the family is good. And with the Islam changed me as a person inside of me. It changed my inside, it changed the inside and the people outside. And the prayers, alhamdulillah, before, I didn't know what Islam was, you know. So alhamdulillah, I do my 5 prayers a day, and I read Quran. I'm trying to learn Arabic too. I'm trying to involve, because when you're real in the street and you change, in my mind, I have to stay real in the deen, you know. If I was real in the Jahiliyyah life, in the life of the Emirates, So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to, if Allah guide me today, I have to show an example to the youths, to people who was looking up to me. And like a brother who told me in jail, you're someone in the street in Montreal, so people will listen to you, but most of people will look at your action. So since I'm practicing Islam, people that were looking up to me, alhamdulillah, I have four brothers that was not Muslim, they become Muslim, they embrace Islam because of the action, the way, the peace, how Islam bring the peace to me, how Islam changed me. So now I'm trying to help the youths. I'm trying to do events to help the youths. I'm trying to do a smaller organization to help the youths. I just don't want the youths to be like who we were, you know. I don't want to waste time on the street, you know. I want them to know Islam, because people think Islam is something rude, you know, something. But Islam is a religion of peace, and is a religion of freedom. Is a freedom too. It tell you to pray five times. It tell you to respect your neighbors. That's how life is supposed to be. So alhamdulillah, because it's Islam, and I've been a better person. And alhamdulillah, I wish that for everybody, for the people who's not Muslim. May Allah guide you into Islam, and JazakAllah khair.
So what advice have you got to Muslims who are still involved in streets and gangs, who are living this lifestyle? What advice have you got to them?
That's sad, because a lot of Muslims that was born Muslim, they leave the religion. My advice is that, I'm talking about experience, you know. I've been in the street, I spent my whole life in the street. I've been shot in the street, I've been a victim in the street. I've been a victim, I went to jail three times. I lost at least four years and a half of my life in jail. I've been stabbed in the neck. I almost lost my life like four times for nothing, for colors, for creeping bloods, you know, for nothing. Me, if my advice is to the people, for the Muslim people in the street, leave the street, stay close to the masjid, you know. Change your people around you, because when you are gonna have problem, they're gonna leave you. You're gonna go in jail, they're gonna leave you. You're gonna go to the hospital, they're gonna leave you. If you die, they're gonna throw alcohol on the floor, and that's it. But Muslim people, when you have problem, small or big, they're gonna be with you, you know. So my advice is that what you think, what you seen, and is not what they reflect. Inside, they're sad. People in the street, they make money, they're sad inside. They're sad, they don't feel good. So my advice for my guy who's speaking to you, for my guy who was, I was in the street, you know, I almost lost my life, I was paralyzed, I almost lost my life, you know. So my advice is that stay, fear Allah, you know, pray your five rakats, pray your five prayers, and make dua, respect your parents, and alhamdulillah, you're gonna see your life gonna change. So, JazakAllah khair, Roadside to Islam, for this interview. May Allah reward you for this. Abu Bakr Islam, nothing but love, my brother. And thank you for the events, the conference last night. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mahad al-Mustaqim.